Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Amen. Father, we thank you that your words are spirit and life. We thank you your words are spirit and life because your word is alive, it's living and active. And so, Father, I thank you for just the spirit of faith being released this morning as we look at your word in a couple of areas. And Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith being released this morning, but also the gift of faith. And Father, I thank you for the gift of faith being released this morning into every person's life in this room. Father, your word says in 1 Peter 3:15, your word says here, Father, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. There's a whole load of other stuff in there. But Father, I thank you for the gift of faith that goes beyond just speaking words, but the gift of faith goes into living a life of the supernatural. Living a life that releases your power into our own lives, but also into the other lives of those around us. Whether in our families, whether in our work situations, and whatever environment that we're in. Father, I thank you this morning that something's going to be triggered and released in every person that's going to change the way we see things and the opportunities that we can grasp and see you move and touch other people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Do you want to grab a seat? If we could lift it over a bit, it'd be great. Thanks. Just if you want to get your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Thanks, guys. Brilliant. Cheers. I've just been away for a couple of days, and Dave Hellier was with me. We went to Spain for a couple of days to a European leaders kind of summit, leaders summit. And this particular summit is very unique and very unusual. It's not like any other leaders, Christian leaders event I've been to or go to. And one of the guys that was there was a guy called Alistair McGrath, who is a leading professor that used to be an atheist, but is now born again, filled with the Spirit and everything. And he's written a number of books that obviously counter the whole new atheism or what atheists believe. And it was quite a brain-stretching couple of days. It's not a kind of conference where there's loads of worship and loads of praying and that kind of thing, or this is how you grow your church or any of that sort of stuff. It was more geared to really understanding, well, what are the things that have been shaping our culture and society? Where are things at now? And maybe what are some of the things that look like they're going to begin to influence in the next 3 to 5 years our culture? And how is the church, do we deal with that? Do we prepare for that? Not so that we become defined by it, but so that we can actually counteract that in the things of God and then see a different shape in society come. So it's kind of like a prophetic couple of days. It's not just where are we, it's a mess, what we're going to do, but it's kind of looking at what is going on, what's happening out there, but how do we then as the church, how do we not just counter that in terms of coming against it, but what is it that God has called us to do and to be as the body of Christ in the context of that kind of culture and environment that brings the kingdom of God in there? And one of the things, and you'd be as aware of this as I am, one of the things that impacted me the last couple of days with just the amount of content and information that was communicated was how so much of the world, and this is obvious statement I'm going to make here, how people just live and how everything is just done at the level of reason. And if you can prove it to me, then I might believe you. Or if you can show me and convince me that you are right and I am wrong, then maybe I will listen to you. But how much reason there is out there, but actually there's no evidence to support most of the reasoning, certainly the things we've been hearing over the last couple of days. And what, you know, hits you in a fresh way is that the Word of God always has been, always is, and always will be. It will never change, and no matter what the fashions of men or the trends of man or the latest things that come and go because of man's reasoning, thinking, self-righteousness or whatever in terms of I've got this philosophy, I've got this idea, I'm right, everybody else is wrong, there is no God. You know, God looks at all of that and has a little chuckle in heaven and says, well, it's a phase these guys are going through because my word is still is yesterday, today and forever. It's going to remain, it's going to stay, and it will fulfill everything that I have sent it to do, spoken it to do, proclaimed it to do throughout the earth. And so the great encouragement over the last few days is even though atheism as a belief system, which it is, they don't like to think of it like that, but atheism is a belief system. It's on the wane, it's on the decline, and the body of Christ is going the other way. Christianity is the fastest growing belief in the world today, you know, and so the Word of God is going to break through the Word of God. But one of the things for me was, okay, we need to understand and we need to have an answer, as the Word says, in every situation. And we need to understand, what does the Bible say? And we need to also, it's good to understand how people think and how they get to where they're going. But at the end of the day, you can have the right answer. You can give them the right even reasoning from the Word on certain things. But it still needs something of the power of God and the Spirit of God to bring revelation, to show somebody that the truth is the only way, the God's truth, the Word of truth, is the only way. But one of the other things for me the last couple of days was also, man, as the body of Christ, we the challenge to live in the power of God more every day than we have been, than that we do. Because if we just treat everything from reason or treat everything with just words, then we're just coming with another belief system, another set of words. And one of the things that the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 4 is that the kingdom is not just a matter of talk, but of power. Now, words are important. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 1, because this is going to be important in terms of what God wants to do this morning. How many of you have got some physical sickness in your body at this moment? Just raise your hand. In some way, could be anything from an aching elbow through to a more of a serious condition. Probably most people, if not everybody in the room, you might have something that is wrong with you this morning. Well, God wants to change that today. Amen. All right. Now, if we're going to meet together on a Sunday morning, we don't want to go away. You might meet with God and receive something from God today in terms of revelation of Him or your faith gets encouraged. But how many of you want to go away different physically than you came in? How many of you want to go away different emotionally than you came in? How many of you want to go away different mentally than the way you came in? So when we come together, we want to expect to go away, not just, oh, God was amazing, He was brilliant, but actually, I got healed this morning, something changed in my body. The things that are happening in my life, they've changed as a result of meeting together, connecting with God and what God did amongst us this morning. So let's have a look in Genesis chapter 1 here, verse 3. And God said, I love that, God said. Last few days, we've been hearing a lot, Dave and I, about what man says. All the different people that are into this, that and the other. This is what man says. But it's great when God comes in because it says, God said. Now, whenever God says something, something happens. It's impossible for God to say something and nothing happens. Because God's word is creative. God's word is life. God's word is spirit and life. So when God speaks, life is released. When God speaks, something creative takes place. And so it says, God said, then it's in this context, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, let there be an expanse between the waters and separate water from water. So God made the expanse. So something happened. Verse 9, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was, God said, and it was So when God speaks, something happens. Verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was... Verse 14, let there be light in the expanse of the sky. And it carries on. And again, that's what took place. Verse 20, God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems. Why? Because he is life. His word is full of life, and where God speaks, life is released into either what is not there, so something is created, or if something doesn't have life in it, when he speaks, life is then released into what is either dead or doesn't have breath yet. Let's have a look. It carries on in verse 24. Then God said, let the land produce creatures according to their kinds, and it was so. Verse 26, this is where it gets interesting. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and all the creatures and that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. Wow. So here we have, this is where it gets exciting, because God said, let there be something, and it was so. But then he said, let's make man in our image. Let's make him just like us. So he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then he blessed them. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. Amazing, we're made out of dust. So he formed man out of the dust of the ground, but man had no life in him. So what did God do? It says in here, and God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now, every person, whether saved or unsaved, has the breath of life in them. So that's why they're alive. Without the breath of life, none of us would be alive. If God withdrew his breath of life now, we would just fall to the ground. So we're only sustained. Every person is only alive because God has, because the breath of God is actually given them life. But God, obviously in relation to Adam and Eve, Adam, he had relationship with God. Sinned, separated from God. God wanted to restore that relationship. So let's have a quick look. John 20. Just turn over there for a sec. John chapter 20. See, if God is alive, if his word is living and active, when he speaks, it must be so. Things must happen. If you've been created in his image and he has put his life inside of you, then there's something powerful about the words that can be spoken from our life that release his life into situations. Let's have a look at John chapter 20, verse 22. This is when Jesus appeared to the disciples after he'd been resurrected. He walks into the room. So he didn't even knock on the door. He walked into the room and he said, peace be with you. I'm not surprised he said that after he just appeared. But after all they'd been through in terms of denying him, he was saying, peace be with you. Hey, it's all right, guys. Okay. After this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Then he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so what happened at that point is they already had the breath of life in them because they were alive. But he wanted to breathe something else to enable them to live in a different way. So he then breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to need not just the breath of life, because everybody has that, otherwise we'd all be dead. But I'm going to breathe into you now my spirit so that you can begin to fulfill everything that I want you to see happen. Because I'm not going to be here any longer. I'm going to go up and I'm going to leave you guys. But you need my breath. You need the breath of God in terms of the spirit of life, the spirit of God, the power of God to then release everything through your life that you're going to need to see happen what you need to see happen. Because I'm not going to be here any longer. Acts 1 verse 8. What does it say? Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So they breathed the Holy Spirit on them, so they received the Holy Spirit. But then there was an empowering by the Holy Spirit in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. Not that it happened like that for them in terms of it's in verse 8 chapter 1. But they just received the Spirit that day and the power of God came upon them. And the breath of God, the life of God, the spirit of God that was in them was now released in them for them to move and live in a dynamic of life, a supernatural love, a supernatural dynamic of faith, a supernatural dynamic of power in the way they lived together in terms of what they began to see happening in Jerusalem and a few years later to the ends of the earth. So this morning, you have the breath of God in you. But also those of you that are already in relationship with God and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you also have the Spirit of God in you this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, then you have the breath of God in terms of the breath of life because you have natural life. But God also wants to put something supernatural in you, and that's His life, and give you relationship with Him so that you can know Him personally and live in another dimension of life than you've known in the natural. Because when God said, let's create man in our image, it was not just to live a natural life in our own strength and effort. It was to live a supernatural life because God is not just natural. God is supernatural. And when you come to know God, there's a supernatural dimension of life that comes into you and you see life in a different way. You see people in a different way. You see circumstances in a different way. It's like something not just in your life open up, but you have a different perception, different discernment, different understanding in your mind. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. That means as we understand who God is and what the Bible says about who He is and who we are in relationship to Him, our lives are transformed. Our thinking is transformed. Our actions are transformed. Our behavior is transformed. Our expectations are transformed. And so therefore, we don't look at our own ability and our own strength or power to do anything. We realize that actually power and the life is in His Word. Working with the Holy Spirit to see things happen. So I don't have to try and conjure up the power of God. I don't have to try and rev up the power of God. I don't have to try and whip up some atmosphere in my life for God to do something. I've either got the power of God or I don't, or I haven't. I either have the Holy Spirit or I don't. I've either got words of life or I don't. And when we speak in terms of the Word and when we respond to what God says and we speak out what He's saying, it's not just repeating somebody else's words. It's not coming just from our own nature or our own ability. We speak in words of life. We speak in words that are living and active. When you speak to somebody who is sick and they need healing, you're not just saying, well, I hope something happens. And I don't know if I feel ready to pray for the sick. It really doesn't matter whether we feel ready or not. It's our faith is in God and who He is, in the power of His Word. The Bible says with a word, He cast out demons. With a word, He healed the sick. It didn't take much. You know, the story with the centurion in the Bible where a centurion soldier came to Jesus and he said, my servant is very sick, paralyzed at home. And would you heal him? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll come to your house. But the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But if you just say the word, that's pretty awesome. If you just say the word, that's all you got to do, Jesus. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus was, it says he was amazed, astonished. It says in the story there that he was amazed that he'd never seen such faith in the whole of Israel. It's like, wow. And here's a centurion. He wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile. But yet, the soldier said to him, he said, look, I'm a soldier. I'm under authority, but also have authority. So if I say to one of my guys, go and do this, he goes and does it. If I say, do that, he goes and does it because I've got authority. But I've only got that authority because I'm under authority. And he recognized that Jesus had an authority that wasn't just his own. He had it from somewhere else that was a greater authority. And this guy, because he understood, hang on a minute, I'm under authority and I've got authority. And this guy's got authority because he's healing the sick. Things are happening. So he must be under authority. And the centurion must have heard some stuff that Jesus had been talking about and understood, hang on, he's under God's authority. So if he just says the word, then boom, it's going to happen. He doesn't even have to come to my house because he's under authority. And Jesus loved that moment. But what did Jesus say? He didn't suddenly shundai in tongues. He didn't have a prayer meeting. He just said, go, your servant is well. It is as you say. And when the centurion was on, he heard, you know, the very hour that Jesus spoke, that's when his servant was healed. Why? Because it's words of life that are released. It's not a formula. So if I get the formula right, then, you know, if I say the right words, then something's going to happen. No, it's not saying the right words. It's faith in God and the power of his word. So as a believer, we're created in his image. He has put his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And he says, now you go in my name. So we've already been sent. You've already been released by the Holy Spirit. You have already been commissioned in his name already. So you have his name written on your life, written on the inside of you. So when you go in his name. You don't just go in your own. You go in the power of the name of Jesus that is above every other name. And the Bible says that every knee has to bow, every principality has to bow to the name of Jesus. So therefore, if we are already sent in his name, then when we go and do what he wants us to do, we're doing it in his name. So this morning, we're going to see some things happen in his name. It doesn't matter how long you might have had an illness or a sickness or something. He's not put off by how long you've had something. He doesn't see something as greater or as less than something else in our lives. You see, in the natural, we look at things and we're like, wow, that sounds like a big problem. So I better stir up faith. Faith is either there or it isn't. And this morning, you know, that's partly why I believe God wants to release a gift of faith into our lives this morning so that it's not just, have I got the faith for this or not? It's, Father, I thank you that your word says that by your stripes I have been healed. The word says, you are my healer. And your word says, you are the Lord who heals me. And so you've already done it on the cross. You have already established something. So my healing is not dependent on my performance. My healing is not dependent on my history. Receiving my healing isn't dependent on how I got up or didn't get up this morning, whether I spent 15 minutes or 30 minutes or however long with the Lord. My healing isn't dependent on did I read the Bible today or not, because my healing isn't dependent on what I have done to earn or to think I've done what I should do in order for God to then say, great, now I can heal them. Your healing is dependent on receiving what he has already done, because he has already done it so that you can receive it today, this morning, and walk out healthy. Is that all right? You could have a little ache in your big toe, or you could have cancer this morning. It's all the same to God. Is one word from God bigger than cancer?
Yes.
Is one word from God bigger than a cold? Otherwise, what we do is we rate sickness and we say, ooh, you know, I'm not sure about that one. Whereas actually God says, no, sickness is sickness. My word is my word. And if my word is spirit and life, then his spirit and life is released when we speak. Seeing people healed also is not dependent on how many words we speak. I think the more words we speak, the more we're dependent on, the more I say, the hopefully the more will happen. And actually, how many of you know in the kingdom, less is more? How do we know that? Well, everything seems to start as a seed in the kingdom. It seems to, you know, in life, we talk a lot about, you know, big this, big that, big the other, you know. And everything's got to be big to be successful. But actually, in the kingdom, everything starts as a tiny little seed. What did Jesus say? If you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, they're pretty small. You can speak to that mountain, that problem, that issue, that sickness, and it has to move, it has to go. The Savior of the world didn't come in a big fanfare and arrive, you know, say, hey, I'm here. He came as a seed, was put as a seed that you, with the natural eye, you can't even see. And a seed was put into Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was conceived, was born, and then grew up and became the Son of, well, he was the Son of God. Started as a tiny little seed. It's funny, isn't it? In kingdom things, most things start as a tiny little seed, and then they grow and become something powerful. But everything is already in the seed. So you got loads of seed in you. You got loads of seed in you as a believer this morning. You got the seed of God's word that is in there. Just one more story, and then we're going to see some things happen. In Matthew 8, verse 2, there's a leper that comes to Jesus. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What does Jesus do? He takes the if out, doesn't he, of the thing. He says, I am willing. What does he say there? It's very interesting. He says, be clean or be cleansed. Because leprosy in that day, you were an outcast. Because if you had leprosy, you were not allowed to mix in society because of your illness. You were seen as unclean. So when Jesus spoke into this guy's life, he didn't just say, be healed. He said, be clean. Because for that guy, his whole life was going to be turned around at that moment. It wasn't just that he was going to be free from leprosy. He was now going to, as a result of being cleansed or healed, he was then going to be brought back into relationship with his friends, with his family, with society. Because God loves to do a complete work in people's lives. There is no formula for healing. Sometimes Jesus, like that, he said, I am willing, be clean. And the guy immediately was healed, was cleansed. Centurion, Jesus wasn't even there, but the paralyzed guy was healed. In another situation, Jairus, the synagogue ruler, he said to Jesus, would you come to my house, because my daughter is dying. If you touch her, she will get well. So Jesus agreed with his faith. Interesting. You know, God will agree with your faith. You know, because we could all stand here and say, well, everybody should be able to just receive right there in the middle of the room because they should have the faith for that. Well, you can't put people under that kind of thing. You see, for some people, they say, if I can just get to the front and the person pray for me, and if they just laid hands on me, I know I'm going to receive. If that's somebody's faith, great, you get healed. You receive it. For others, it's like, I just know I've got to be at that meeting today and God's going to do it. How he's going to do it, I don't know. He's just going to do it. So it's not, you know, I should have faith just to receive it right now. Don't put yourself under that kind of thing. So Jesus went with Jairus. On the way, he was interrupted with the lady who had been sick for 12 years with that issue of blood. And she pressed through the crowd because she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I'm going to get healed. So she wasn't even saying to Jesus, please, would you pray for me? She just said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, the tassels that were hanging off, if I just touch them, because they, one of them will represent healing, I'm going to get healed. And when that happened, he said, power went out from him. And he said, who touched me? You see, sometimes, you know, we can be quite passive and say, God, do you want to heal me? He does. He is willing. And actually, sometimes he just wants to pull on what is ours. He wants us to say, well, I'm going to take what is mine. The woman with the issue of blood says, I'm going to take something from Jesus because I've heard he does that for other people. And she took her healing, if you like, from Jesus. She didn't. She's like, I'm going to have that for me because I want to be whole. And again, for Jesus, for the lady, it completely changed her life. Because she was an outcast because of the kind of illness she had. The synagogue ruler must have been a bit frustrated at that moment because Jesus had been interrupted on the way to healing his daughter. And while this other lady interrupted, a message came from Jairus' house saying, look, don't worry Jesus anymore because your daughter has died. For Jairus, suddenly everything went through the floor. His whole world caved in a moment of time. What did Jesus say? He said, what did he say? Basically, yeah, don't give up. He said, just believe. So what's Jesus going on? He was going on the faith that Jairus had a few minutes earlier when Jairus said, Jesus, if you come to my house and just touch my daughter, she'll be made well. So Jesus was still going there, even though he got interrupted on the way, even though there's many other people pulling on God, God's not forgotten you. It doesn't matter how many interruptions, how busy you think God is or where he's looking or whatever, God is able to do what he wants to do in your life. And so on the way, he got interrupted and even the circumstances changed. And the guy who had faith there, suddenly his faith went through the floor. And Jesus said, it's all right, mate, just believe and you're going to see the glory of God. So he goes with him. What does he do? He goes into the room and he touches the girl and bang, she gets healed. So he didn't even say anything, he just touched her. Well, if you read one gospel, it says he touched her, another one, it says he touched her, and then he told her to get up, but whatever. Peter's mother-in-law, she was ill, had a fever. Jesus went in there and he went over, and the Bible says there, he went over there and he touched her, and she was well. She got up and then started cooking, making food. Because when Jesus goes to do something, he doesn't just say, oh, nice visit, bless you. And we'll pray on Sunday in church for you. You know, now they might well do that, but he goes to see something happen. Because the expectation is he's got the living word. I mean, he is the living word. But also he still had to know that he couldn't heal anybody in and of himself because he was fully man. He knew that he had to totally trust the Father because he said, I've not come to do my will. What did Jesus say? He said, I only do the things that I see my Father doing. So he's like, Father, if you're not doing it, even though I'm Son of Man, even though I'm the Son of God, if you're not doing it, I can't go and do it. That's awesome. You think Jesus, Son of God, walking on the planet a few thousand years ago, he said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. So if the Father's not doing it, then I'm not going there. Wow. Talk about being submitted under authority. So we're full of life in here this morning, full of power in here this morning, and you've got enough seed in you to be dangerous this morning. So we're going to stand together, and we're not going to have any music because that, you know, it'd be nice to have a bit of music, wouldn't it, and have a nice atmosphere. All of that, but you don't have an atmosphere in the office, do you? Or your coffee break, you know, or in the park or wherever it is that's going on. But I just believe this morning, you know, one of the things that we've been looking at over the last few weeks is living the gospel in different ways. I know maybe the last couple of Sundays with Easter weekend, well, yeah, with Easter weekend, it was the gospel. But in terms of just doing some specific kind of stuff on living in the power of the gospel, one of the things that just the last couple of days for today, you know, God was saying to me, you know, we want to develop much more of an environment as a church of the supernatural and of the power of God. And I know some of you, you know, you love praying for people that are sick and we hear stories of things happening in the week and everything. But, you know, as a body of people, we want to develop, we want to grow, if you like, in this whole area and move in this area a lot more. Yes, there are people with gifts of healing in the Bible and gifts of miracles. There are certain individuals, you know, a few in a church have those gifts where they see they've got faith for loads and they just see lots of stuff. In the same way as there are people that are evangelists. How annoying are they sometimes, you know? They're a blessing, but, you know, somebody starts conversation within 5 minutes of leading something to the Lord and you're like, how did you do that? You didn't say anything that was amazing. You just, you know, it's just the giftingness there, the grace on that particular person's life, you know. But others have something for healing or miracles. Great. But in the same way, we can all witness and see people saved. We all pray for the sick and see people healed. And one of the things that God's doing in this time is mobilizing the body of Christ to be the people of God in the spheres of life. Because there's so much talk out there about this, that and the other, philosophy, belief system. And actually, a lot of the time, Jesus' parables, but then healings, miracles, signs and wonders, things were happening, the gospel being demonstrated in action. And it's not just reserved for Sundays. It's not reserved for an outreach thing. It's not reserved just for a meeting. You are alive with the life of God. You're alive with the power of God. God is living in you. He's active in you right now. You have this power at work in you right now. It's at work in you tomorrow morning when you're trying to open your eyes at 6 a.m. to get out of bed. It's just as powerful in you there as it is now when you've got your hands in the air or the presence of God is more tangible. The Spirit of God is just as powerful when you're driving to work or when everything seems to be coming against you. The power of God is just the same, just as real in those moments. Same power without an atmosphere as there is with an atmosphere. Amen. I know some things can help encourage your faith, but Chad's not around, is he, when you're in different situations? You can't give him a quick call and say, bring your keyboard down here, mate, and play for a bit so that I feel like there's a good atmosphere for healing. You can't, he's not, you know, I don't know whether he does that all the time. You carry a little pocket keyboard so that when you get the opportunity, a little Casio keyboard and comes out. Or your phone. Everybody's got a mobile phone these days. I suppose you can just put that on. Put it on and put a worship song on. Oh, hallelujah. Right. Yeah, hallelujah. All right, now we can pray for the sick, you know. Right then. There's just a couple of words I believe God wants to start with this morning. But then we're going to just get around into some groups and just pray for people. I believe there's somebody here, you got rheumatoid arthritis or the beginnings of, and you've had some arthritis for a while, and you've had issues with some of your joints, but, you know, there's a bit of a fear there about the rheumatoid, the more severe side of things, and the doctor's even said things to you, that's where it's going to end up and all of that. And firstly, today, you need to just break that lie, cut off that lie, okay? Because that's not God's diagnosis for your body, for your life, all right? And firstly, you take responsibility for your life this morning. Say, right, in the name of Jesus, I cut off today that diagnosis that says you're going to have rheumatoid arthritis, it's going to become this, that, and the other. So I'm not going to live in that. I'm not going to live with that hanging over my life. So I just cut that off in the name of Jesus. And I take hold of my healing this morning because God's diagnosis is different for my life than that. Okay, so that, I believe God wants to sort that out in somebody. And there's another person, you've got some issues, thyroid kind of issues going on in your body. And God's been speaking to you in the last few days about your healing, and you're going to receive the kind of freeing from the symptoms of the thyroid issues in your body this morning, okay? There's a few other things that will probably come out in the next few minutes, but what I want you to do, I want you to everybody stand, just get into groups of about 4 or 5, okay? And we're just going to see some things happen this morning in quite a relaxed atmosphere without the music and all of that, So just gather around in groups of 4 or 5. Introduce it. If you don't know the people, just at least say hi and ask them what their name is. and said, it's great to meet you if you don't know them. Okay, now, how many of you want to live in the stretch zone? All right, we want to live in the stretch zone of our lives. It's great to come to church, and sometimes there's not a stretch. You know, we worship and all of that, but suddenly now it's like, oh, hang on a minute, I've got to do something, right? And but if we're not ready to act at any moment, then probably a lot of the time during the week, we're going to tend to be slightly more passive than active in terms of our faith. And how many of you know that the more you do something, the more it becomes a habit or part of your lifestyle, you know? And seeing people healed and praying for the sick and everything, we want it to become a habit, you know, part of our lifestyle as people. Most of the people in your workplace or people that you know, if you ask them, they got sickness issues. They got stuff going on in their body, you know, and it is a brilliant calling card to get into conversations or to see things begin to happen in somebody's life. It's great, you know, if you come across people at work, don't necessarily do it in the office. You need a bit of wisdom, as to when you pray for people. If you've got a coffee break or whatever, or after work when you're finished or whatever it is, have some wisdom there if you know you're going to get into trouble for doing something during the work time. But we don't want to just, let's get into trouble anyway. No, let's, you know, just be wise with doing things. But, you know, we want to get a bit of a habit going here in our lives. And the great thing is, you don't have to whip anything up. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like, oh, my word, is something going to happen now or not? Do I feel the anointing or not? Probably not. Most of the time, I don't feel any anointing. Most weeks, I'm up here preaching to you guys. I don't feel the anointing. There's some weeks, you know, it's like, flipping heck, this is amazing, you know. Other weeks, you're like, is everybody dead out there or is this just rubbish that's coming out? Why? Because if you're doing something spiritual, if you're moving ahead and you want to, the enemy hates it. And he wants to kick off everything in you that goes, oh, this is rubbish, nobody's interested, you've got no power, nothing's going to happen, this is boring, go home and have lunch and, you know, just shut your gob, be quiet, who's listening to you anyway? I mean, that's what goes on, and you just got to carry on and go, oh, devil, shut your gob, you know? So don't listen to yourself, first of all, and don't listen to the enemy either, because yourself will say, are you sure? You know, and all of that. But the Holy Spirit's going, come on. All right, so you ready? So get into your groups and just go around the group. Say, does anybody need to see anything this morning happening in their bodies? Anybody need healing? Okay, and just ask people in your group and just go around. And please don't go into history. Don't say how long you've been sick and you this, that and the other. We don't want to know that. We want to see you healed this morning. Jesus didn't do a big history study on somebody when he healed them. Okay, once you've found out what's wrong, shouldn't take you that long to tell people what's wrong with you. Shouldn't take too long. Once you've done that, okay, we're going to command some things to happen in people's bodies, all right, this morning. Now, what I want you to do, okay, can everybody listen for a minute? Everybody just listen up for a minute. We're not praying for people this morning, okay? We're healing them. Right? Jesus said, heal the sick. All right, he didn't say pray for them. He said heal them. So we're not praying for somebody this morning. So don't pray a long prayer that says, Father, I thank you for Agnes and I thank you that she's such a cool lady and you've anointed her and she's brilliant and da-da-da-da-da. We're not doing that now. What we're doing is, right, one person in the group, okay, find out from an individual, okay, what's up? Okay, what do you believe God's going to do now? Ask them that question. What do you believe God is going to do now? In all the stories we looked at, there was faith there, okay? It wasn't just, well, pray for me and see what happens. It was, okay, what do you believe God's going to do now? Now, you might not believe the whole thing is going to happen. You might say, well, I believe something's going to happen. Great. Well, let's agree for that something.
And then when you pray for them, one person in the group, just lay hands on their head or something, okay? But then don't pray a nice prayer. Just say, right, in the name of Jesus, I command that sickness to go now. And then ask them how they're doing. Has the pain gone? How are you doing? Now, if it's all gone, brilliant, okay? If you say, well, actually, something's happening, then great, something's happening. Your faith will be encouraged. Well, just keep praying a bit more because then more will take place. Because sometimes your faith just needs to be encouraged with something that has started to happen, all right? So we want to be honest here. Don't say, oh, yeah, God's going to heal me if you think, oh, I don't think anything's going to happen, you know? Just say, well, I believe something's going to happen. Great. Well, let's believe for the something, all right? And then as the something happens, we can believe for a bit more. Is that all right? So don't all take one turn, you know, in turns to pray for the same person because we'll be here a long time doing that. Just one person, then go around the group. Somebody else have a go with the next person and let's see what God's going to do, okay? Go.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.